Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
Last week, we started a series called The Giver, and we talked about how God gives the greatest gifts. No one can compare to God as a giver, because He's not just any giver, He is the original giver. He is the giver. So we've been talking about that, and He gave us the greatest gift of all, which is Jesus Christ, and that's what we celebrate at Christmas time. And that's not all. God has been giving to us all along. If we look at the beginning, God was giving at the time of creation. If we look in the middle, God was giving. If we look at the end, God is giving. God is always giving. Throughout Scripture, throughout history, God is a giver. Last week, we talked about how at the very beginning, God was the giver. He gave us life in a creative and an extravagant way at creation. He didn't just give us functional life. He didn't just give us the basics, air to breathe, the ability to do simple tasks or have a modest living. No, He gave us an abundant life. He gave us the stars, the galaxy, nature, a planet rich with life. He gave us in an extravagant way. Today, as we continue our series on the giver, I want to talk about how God gives us freedom. God gives us freedom. Say that with me. God gives us freedom. To understand God's gift of freedom, I want to tell you a little story. And this story is in the book of Exodus. It can be found in the Bible. You guessed it, in the book of Exodus. But we'll start because there's so many parallels that we can see here between what goes on in our lives and what went on with the Israelites in the Exodus story. But before we get there, let's go back to Genesis 46. And this is where the children of Israel, they come to Egypt during the time of Joseph. There's a famine in the land, so they go to Egypt. And God had miraculously saved the family of Israel by strategically placing Joseph in Egypt. So not only did Israel survive by coming to Egypt, but they, for a long time, thrived. They did very well. They had special treatment. They had some of the best real estate. Until one day, a Pharaoh came into power that did not know or recognize what Joseph had done for Egypt. So he enslaved the Israelites. And this right here is the parallel. There are many tactics and strategies that the enemy uses to hold us captive. Right? There's so many things, so many ways that the devil will try to trap God's people and cause them not to live their best life. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like backed into a corner or overwhelmed? One day you were living your best life and doing great and winning, but then out of the sudden a series of events happened and you just felt trapped. And that's just what the enemy does or tries to do to us all the time. He wants to kill, steal, and to destroy. He wants to keep you from your best life. The devil wants to trick you and trap you and hold you captive. And that's exactly what the enemy did to Israel. That's what Pharaoh did. Instead of citizens and allies, he made the Israelites slaves. The children of Israel lost their freedom, but even though they had lost their freedom, they served a God who is the giver. Somebody say that, the giver. We have to really see God from that perspective. And He gives good gifts, and His gifts are right on time. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. So this is an important part of the story that we all have to grab a hold of. Exodus 2:23, it says, but the Israelites continued to groan under the burden of slavery. They cried out for help, and their cry rose up to God. This is what I love about God, is that He's always faithful to hear us when we cry out. The children of Israel realize they're in over their heads. They realize they're overwhelmed. They're being held as captives or slaves, so they begin to cry out to God. And something happens when God's people cry out. If you ever notice that, when you ever go into a time of prayer, and I'm talking about an intense a serious time of prayer, something begins to stir in the atmosphere. Something begins to happen when we cry out to the God who is the giver. When we cry out to God, he always responds. And Romans 10, 12 through 13 says, Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He gives to us generously what? Salvation. He gives to us generously what? Freedom. So can I just stop there and say, maybe you're at a point right now in your life that you need to cry out to God. Maybe you're at a point where you're just overwhelmed, you're frustrated, you feel backed into a corner, and you need to cry out to God. So many times we think that we're just waiting, but God is actually waiting on us. He's waiting on us to say that prayer. He's waiting on us to cry out to him. He's waiting on us to have expectation or faith that he's gonna move. So I want to encourage you in this season, maybe there's something, maybe there's some things that you need to cry out. How many are looking for God before the year is out for God to really do some breakthrough in your life? Right? So that means we need to position ourselves to cry out to God. So when we cry out, we see that God gives good things, and he is the giver of freedom. And that's exactly what he gives the children of Israel when they cried out to him. He gave them freedom. Freedom from their tasks, freedom from their enemies, freedom from their circumstances, freedom from their oppression. I love that God gives us freedom. He has just the freedom that you need. He's a good God, and he is the giver. And I don't know if you've ever really studied the end of this story, but it ends in an extravagant way. The Israelites don't just leave Israel with limited supply. They don't just leave Egypt with just enough to survive in the wilderness. God gives them freedom, and they left Egypt also with gold and clothes and valuable possessions. Scripture tells us this about when Israel left Egypt. He said, the Lord caused them, Exodus 12, 36, the Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites, and they gave the Israelites, watch this, whatever they asked for. So they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. They stripped Egypt of its wealth. And if you go throughout Scripture, you'll see this as a reoccurring theme, that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. We won't get into that right now, but when God gave Israel freedom, he also gave them favor and blessing. They had so much favor upon them that whatever they asked for, the Egyptians gave them. And that is such a turn in fate, right? They went from slaves to highly favored. They went from broke to wealthy. When God gives, he gives in an extravagant way, because he's not just a giver. He's not just any giver. He is the giver. And so God wants to do this. I want you to see this. God wants to do this for you. This is not just a story about Israel. This is a story about us as God's people, that he wants to not only give you freedom, he wants to give you blessing. Proverbs 13:22 says, good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth is passed to the godly. This is just a principle for how the world works, how the spiritual system that God has established works. Godly people are going to leave an inheritance, but what happens is sinners, their wealth, somehow, eventually, gets passed to the godly. So this is a principle. It's not just a story of Israel, it's a story of us. The wicked person's wealth will pass to the godly. Can you say that with me? The wicked person's wealth will pass to the godly. That's exactly what Proverbs says. That's not me making something up. That's not me trying to make you feel good today. That is the word of God. Doesn't that feel good? That's the word of God. That's not the word of Joshua. That's not the word of Pastor Joshua. That's the word of God. So he wants to take us from the place of being held captive by circumstance, captive by different relationships, and set us free and cause us to be highly favored, because God is the giver. And when he gives in an extravagant way. I want you to do this as an exercise, right? An exercise of your hope muscles, right? Of your faith muscles. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith shows us the reality of what we hope for. And it's the evidence of things we cannot see. Let's look at NIV. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hoped for and assurance about what we do not see. I don't see it yet, but I have the assurance that it's going to happen. I have God's word telling me it's a done deal. I don't see it yet, but I know it's going to happen. I have confidence. I have assurance. So I want you to take a moment and think about your most difficult problems that you're going through right now. Whatever is your most, get that in your head right now. What your most difficult problem is. Now, I want you to imagine what it would take for God to change your circumstance so dramatically that you walk out of that problem and you would, and the pain would be a distant memory. What would it take for your biggest problem right now for you to walk out of it in victory, blessed? So much so that the pain was a distant memory. This part of the imagination, I want you to use your faith imagination right now and imagine what it would take. When Israel walked out of Egypt, they didn't walk out grieving, they walked out rejoicing. Not only did they have freedom, they had compensation. I want you to get this word in your spirit today, compensation. Not only when God gave them freedom, he not only gave them freedom, he gave them compensation. God isn't just going to give you freedom, he is going to compensate you for everything the enemy has put you through. God is not just the God and giver of freedom. He is the giver. He is the God of recompense. He's the God who will judge and make sure you are compensated. In Hebrew, one of God's names is Jehovah Gemulah. Jehovah Gemulah, the God who compensates, the God who rewards. And I want to tell you, whatever it is that you are going through or have been through in your life, God is the God who not only will liberate you, but he will compensate you. So don't just settle for getting out of your problems. Make sure that you demand compensation. Scripture says, find that thief and make him pay back sevenfold. There is an enemy that comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. When you find that thief, when you figure out that that thief is stealing from you, you need to go to the Lord. You need to cry out to God and make sure you get liberated and compensated. What a victory to walk out of your most difficult seasons in victory and blessing. I want to tell you, that's what God wants to do for you. Maybe you've gone through difficulty in 2025, but that does not mean you have to go out with your head hanging low into 2025. Maybe you've been through difficulties in 2024, excuse me. But you don't have to leave 2024 with your head hanging low. Because God is a God that can set you free of whatever's got you backed into the corner. And not only that, make sure that you are compensated. As we close, this is what I want us to think about during this season. God is the giver. Anyone who gives good gifts is reflecting God's nature. I love that. That feeling that you have at Christmas time when you give a good gift, you are reflecting part of the nature of God. That's why it feels good. The atmosphere feels good when you give good gifts. God wants to give you freedom. Whatever problem, whatever circumstance that has made you feel overwhelmed, made you feel captive, made you feel out of options, made you feel backed against the wall, God wants to give you freedom from that. And I want you to think about that and lean into that and ask God for that, because God is the giver and he delights in giving his children good gifts. He wants to give you freedom, and not only that, he wants to make sure that you are compensated for everything the enemy has tried to do. Think about the man Job. He went through it, but the end of his life, the end of that season, not even the end of his life, the end of that season, he was compensated. He was not only liberated, he was compensated. Will you bow your head? Let me pray with you today. God, I thank you for each and every person here today. God, there's many people here today that are looking for breakthrough. There has been a burden that has been laid upon them by life or by the devil or by something. And God, you want to set them free. They are groaning under the weight of the burden, whatever the burden may be. And God, I pray, Lord, in this moment, that they would cry out to you. They would begin to cry out to you, that they would see the power and the value of prayer, true, zealous prayer, that it does change things. The prayers of the righteous do change. God, so I thank you, Lord. We cry out today. Will you just lift up your voice? Just whatever it is, begin to articulate whatever it is that you want breakthrough in your life about. Begin to cry out to God right now. Verbalize, God, I need you to move in this area. God, I need you to move in this situation. God, I need you to move in this relationship. God, I need you to move. There's something powerful when we open our mouth and we begin to declare and we begin to ask. Scripture says you have not because you ask not. This is don't miss an anointed moment to ask God. My father always taught me, when you get into the presence of God, ask something. Ask something. When you get in the presence of God, ask something. Whatever it is that you're asking for breakthrough, ask it now. God, move in this area of my life. God, I need breakthrough. God, I'm crying out, and I know you're the giver of every good thing. God, give breakthrough, give freedom, give compensation. God, give what is needed. God, I thank you for each and every person here that is crying out, that's asking for something today, God. Lord, I know that you delight in giving good gifts. So I pray, Lord, that you would hear the prayers coming to you today. And God, let us see the powerful nature that you have as a good God that gives good things. And Lord, as we pray and as we meditate on this, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I'm here. I feel something. I feel that tug. But I know that I've drifted and I want to reconnect with Jesus. I need to reconnect with Jesus. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are. Amen. Amen. There is nothing like reconnecting with Jesus. There's nothing like connecting with Jesus for the first time. Or you've been away and you're reconnecting. If that was you and you slipped up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this, you can pray this with us. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Even when I drifted, you still loved me. Even when I sinned, you still loved me. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for not turning away from me. Jesus, thank you for what you did on the cross. When you died to pay the ransom for my life, I receive your free gift of salvation, of forgiveness. Jesus, I realize that I need you to guide me, to lead me, to walk with me, to give me the strength. I want to live a life that pleases the Father. Help me do that. In Jesus' name, everybody said, Come on, let's give God the praise today.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.